in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 268 of the Self-Help Podcast. Our microphone is working as it should be.
Just about, yeah.
Don't touch it, don't move a muscle.
Don't breathe.
I think we've got a slightly dodgy cable.
Yeah, I think so.
But, hey-ho.
Technology, eh?
Yeah, you gotta love it. Learning, we're always learning, aren't we, about these new things, which is what we're talking about today, lifelong learning, the benefits of such a thing. Liveinthepresent.co.uk, forgot my shtick there, is our website. Have a look at it. If you sign up to our mailing list, you'll get some free meditation files, discount code for the book, and there's loads of resources on there as well. Things that we'll mention in this show and all the previous episodes, and Sean's written a blog post too, haven't you, Sean?
I have, or I will.
That goes online every Thursday morning without fail. Well, we failed once in like 3 or 4
We did, which is...
we had a good excuse that time.
No, that's actually 5 years.
Is it 5 years? Crikey. Yeah, it will be. Quick maths. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Wowzers.
Wow.
Aren't we looking well?
Yeah, I am.
What have you been up to, Sean? That's tricks.
Very good, very good. I don't know whether we'd had Robert's 30th birthday last time we were on air, but that's been good. It's been like a big time for Robert.
Cool.
But the biggest thing I've got going at the moment is viewers... listeners, even. I'm trying to persuade Ed to come in and do a shave for the brave so we can shave our heads for cancer, for charity, and get lots of sponsorship from new nice guys that are listening right now.
Yeah, okay. Shave for the brave. We need to discuss, A, why I'm so reluctant to shave my head. Yeah, obviously I want to raise money, that'd be cool. But what's the fear? What is the fear that I have behind...
I don't know. It's obviously a weird thing, isn't it, about... Is it how you're going to look?
Yeah.
How people are going to see you?
I don't mind. Yeah, I can look in the mirror and see anything. But it's probably how I'm seen. People across there now, they'll be looking in one morning, what's he done to his head? And it'll be a good excuse for me to go and tell them, I guess, and raise more money.
But one of the things that does happen if you suddenly shave your head is people do come up and say to you, oh, is the illness okay? How's the treatment going? Because they make that assumption, which is why it's so powerful to do it.
Well, there are a lot of shaved heads in Birkenhead when you know, certain parts, of any town and city.
But there's a difference between having a shaved head, and then shaving your head. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you suddenly do it.
Yeah. I need some time to think about it, but you're well up for it by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. Grows back again. I think it'd be a good idea.
You've got quite a short barnet anyway, so you'd be up and running again in...
Yeah.
In a few weeks. This takes months to get this beautiful...
a quiff like that takes, yeah.
And is Ree going to do it as well? More's the point.
You must be joking.
If Ree does it, I'll do it.
If Ree does it, I'll eat my hat, your hat and her hat as well.
All right, watch this space on that one. What's this new book, 1,000 Words a Day?
Yeah, I'm working on the new book, which is just simply called Understanding. I'm trying to do 1,000 words a day. Not every day, but I'm getting there. I'm trying to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understanding.
Yeah.
Good title.
The first bit is in 3 sections, which is who am I, how did I get like it, what can I do about it, it's that kind of stuff. But from a level of understanding, using loads of different sources like philosophy, psychology, quantum physics, all kinds of stuff coming in.
Okay.
So
interesting. Yeah. I'm starting to think of cover things, ideas, or that one word. Okay, well, understanding yourself is a big part of what we're talking about today, I think.
Yeah.
We've had a listener email in who has struggled, well, up and down a little bit over the years.
Yeah.
But from the sounds of it, is in a good place at the moment.
Yeah.
And she thinks, and I think there's a good possibility of it, that part of it is because she has this renewed energy and focus because she... I don't know if it's a new career we're talking about, but it's a new kind of... something that she's wanted to do for a long time, and now she's like actually starting to do it and learn how to do it. And a potential new career, I think.
Yeah.
From the short email I've had. So yeah, lifelong learning. We have done an episode about this, I think, a long time ago, but I think it's worth refreshing this.
Yeah.
Because the benefits of learning as you get older.
Well, one of the things that she said in her email was going back to learning as an adult was a bit like, you know, oh, it's a bit tricky kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And I get that, but I think that's something that we need to address in this.
Sorry about any background noise. We've got a bit of work going on in the building today. And there's a pigeon flying around in the rafters.
Yeah, which is funny. And people obviously trying to get it out of the building.
Yeah.
Leave it alone, poor thing.
Leave that poor pigeon alone. Where was it? What were we saying? Well, hang on. First thing I want to start with...
You've already got brain dementia going on here.
What I want to mention first of all is, why don't we carry on learning as we get older?
I think for lots of reasons.
Generally.
The primary reason is that we have no expectation to. You know, people, by the time they get into their 20s, usually they're getting quite fixed and rigid in their habits and behaviours. And at that point, they stop learning new things.
Yeah.
Usually 25 up, people are quite fixed. And when you talk about people that go into the same place every day to do the same job, and maybe they do that right through till they retire at 60, 65 or 70, whenever it's going to be in the future, that people just start to do same old, it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And people don't learn. You know, they go home, they watch the same things on the telly. You know, you have the soap that are on particular days a week, you know, and you go back, you watch them.
Yeah, well, we all have our routines, don't we, and habits. Yeah.
Yeah, but learning is about stepping out of the existing routine and doing something different.
Keeping your mind fresh and alert.
Yeah,
because we do have this, we're stuck in our ways in the Western world. It's like you're born, you have a few years learning how to breathe and how to take care of yourself and the basic functions, and then you hit school, don't you? And it's school for 15 years, and then maybe you might go to university for further education to kind of narrow down that focus in life. And then you've done university, perhaps, or you've got your apprenticeship, maybe, and then you're in a job, and then that's it, you're set, aren't you?
And even people that do, like, a master's, very often, by the time they finish it, by the time they're 23, whatever, we used to have this belief that by the time you were 25, your brain had developed as far as it was going to go, and then everything was downhill after that, and now we know that's not true.
Okay.
But we know that the difference is the learning, it's what you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, your brain will create new brain cells in response to new learning. And if you don't learn new things, your brain gets smaller. But if you do learn new things, your brain can grow by 1,400 new brain cells every day.
Wow.
But you have to be learning new things.
Okay. I mean, yeah, just in terms of like where we are in like human evolution, the world is accelerating in terms of technology and like change pretty rapidly at the moment. And well, we're having to kind of rebuild and renew how we create our electricity, and there's a whole environmental side of things in terms of how we've done things for 100, 200 years. It needs to be completely rethought.
But the amount of people that are going to be doing that thinking and learning, because the majority of people just stick a plug in a socket and have no idea about where it comes from. I mean, we just assume the water's going to come out the tap.
Yeah.
Nobody has any kind of experiential learning into how that happens.
Yeah, but there are little... I mean, you don't have to go to do a master's or a degree to learn about things like that. There are some people that are generally genuine or are just intrigued by things and will go and learn.
If you're curious.
So learning doesn't have to be that kind of...
Not formal.
Formal.
Yeah.
Getting a certificate at the end of the day. It can just be having a general inquisitive mind and wanting to know how things work.
I mean, one of the things, banging your drum, you talk about cycling into the office, right? If someone drives into the office, how many people that are listening to this drive into the office and then they'll go through a period of time where they're driving, maybe they've been driving for 10 minutes, and suddenly they realise they can't actually remember those 10 minutes. They've just done it on autopilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's because in that space, they've gone out of the learning zone. When you're out there on your bike and you're wrestling, fighting with other road users, you have to stay awake. You've got to keep learning and growing and being aware to survive.
Yeah.
Which is what hunter-gatherers had to do.
Okay.
Right? So in many ways, we set ourselves up to stop learning.
Yeah.
You know, if you go and get on a train, you sit on the train until you get off the train. Yeah, there's no interaction with the universe.
Well, so, yeah. Yeah, generally it's people reading the phone, isn't it, or reading a book, yeah. Perhaps. Although a lot of people do use that time on their commute, either on a train or a bus, maybe to get something done, get some work done, or, like, say, read a book. So there are ways around it, aren't there?
Well, it depends on what you're reading, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what you're reading. It doesn't necessarily have to be fiction or non-fiction. It's not like that. But it is what you're reading stretching your brain.
Yeah.
Because that's how it grows.
I want to give a quick shout to my dad, who, as we speak right now, or as this is being recorded, he's cycling from London to Paris. He's just started the first leg, which is down to Dover. He's doing it for charity, actually, so I will put a link in the show notes. It's Alzheimer's UK, which has affected our family a little bit, or quite a bit in recent years. But yeah, my dad's 67, I think. Yeah. He retired 3-4 years ago. Not with a huge plan for what to do. And for the first few months, yeah, he was just kicking around the house a little bit, getting annoying my mum and what have you. But yeah, he's found this, discovered this love of cycling on a, you know, for a fitness kind of recreational social thing to do. And, you know, he does other things, like he does a history class on a Monday morning, and he's involved in other few bits and bobs. But I think the main thing, the focus for him has been physical exertion through cycling.
Yep.
It's not just brought him that kind of level of fitness, which for a chap of his age is pretty amazing. It's not actually amazing. It's something that's well within the limits of most 67-year-olds, if they.
Well, when I was in the ashram, there were guys that were in their 80s,
yeah.
And they were still really supple. But they were supple of body, but supple of mind as well.
Yeah.
The two things go together, I'm sure.
It is relatively amazing, but it shouldn't be, because most chaps and chapettes of that age could quite easily cycle 100 miles in a day.
The scary thing is, I see people in occupational health departments that are in their 40s who are acting like they're old people. You know, they're already starting to get an old head, an old mind, and because they're developing old bodies, they're kind of stiff and don't do stuff, they don't move.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I mean about, you know, you sit on a train, you go home, you sit down, you watch the telly, you get up, you get back on the train, that kind of stuff, rather than actually learning new, being new, discovering new.
Mm-hmm. From my dad's side of view, and I'll another shout out for his link for sponsorship, which if you could chip in, that would be cool.
We would do.
There's another side to the learning, which he's experienced. It's the social angle as well, which I've seen in a couple of blog posts, which I'm going to link to in the show notes. So not only is he kind of learning a new skill and having to kind of relearn how his body works and what it can do, what it's capable of, he's got this whole new circle of friends.
Right.
So it's that community aspect which can come with learning.
Yeah.
Which is an important element, I would say. Would you not agree?
I do. I think that the whole kind of social interaction, we learn a lot through interacting socially with other people. We're learning about all kinds of things, about who they are, but also we're learning how to negotiate, communicate, and even manipulate. You know, we're learning things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once we stop learning, that's when the problems begin.
Mm-hmm. No. So for people who are listening now that might be in that rut, or in that kind of decade-long routine of work and EastEnders, or whatever floats your boat.
Mm.
How do you start to pull yourself out of that? And
set yourself a challenge and go and do something completely different. I mean, so many of the courses that I've been on and I run and stuff like that is some project stuff which is about, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to try? And we've had all kinds of, like people jumping out of planes and all kinds of stuff to challenge themselves to try something new.
Yep.
You know, and it could be learning to play the guitar. It doesn't matter what it is. But learning music, learning a language, learning to do some kind of physical skill has massive effects on your neurology.
Yeah, because I'm just conscious that, you know, when you are making that decision on which route you want to go down and what you want to study for, that it's important not to take a wrong turn, because you can have the effect of, you know, having that, you try something and you fail and you kind of have that negative response of, oh, there we go, I've tried it and I couldn't do it and it's made me
feel. What are you thinking of when you say that?
I don't know. Let's say that someone here wants to learn to play the piano.
Right.
They go on a few classes and maybe they have a tutor for a few weeks, but they've realised that they haven't, that learning the piano wasn't actually something they really wanted to do. It's just something that, an idea that someone else had given them that they thought would be a good idea. So then they do it, they try it, they fail, and then they slip back into old habits with the kind of extra
depression
that comes from failing.
That, that comes back to the mind thing about failures in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
If we don't have problems, we have learning opportunities, then the fact that I tried the piano and it didn't work just taught me something, so I'm going to go on to playing the double bass. You know, it's like learning, not allowing it to be a limitation, but a motivation.
So you need a little bit of resilience early on to kind of know that the first thing you try might not be it, and part of the process of enjoyment is trying different things, isn't it, and figuring out what it is you want to do.
Think about kids. You've got two young lads, and the thing that they do most easily is they play. They go out and play, and when they're playing, they're learning. They're learning body skills, hand-eye coordination skills. They're learning communication skills. They're learning all kinds of things all the time. And one of the keys about playing is you don't take it seriously. You play. Yeah, and we don't do that as adults, but to go and try playing the piano is like playing a game. If it doesn't work, go and play something else.
Yeah.
I mean, don't take it personally.
Yeah.
You know, once people are fixed into kind of rigid ideas about, I can't do that. I really hate the word can't. It should be banned from the human language. As soon as someone says to me, I can't do that, they're right. And it doesn't matter what the it is, whether it is cooking a cake or having your hair cut off or whatever it is, can't doesn't exist. It's what we create in our head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that if we can look at it in terms of its experience, its change, it's different, it's fun. Some of the things that we try might be, bloody hell, I wish I hadn't done that, because we just fell off the mountain and broke our leg, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we tried it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your experience of lifelong learning? I mean, you're speaking with people and learning new issues.
Well, one of the things I do, I do a lot of work with the U3A, which I'm putting up as a resource. But the University of the Third Age is for people that are in later life, and by that I mean 70s, 80s, 90s, that are still learning things. So I could introduce to 90-year-olds that are learning to speak Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Never done it before. And one of the things that always amazes me is when I'm with those groups of people, it's like being with the monks, is that the people that are supple of mind are supple of body. Yeah, so I did a training program teaching teachers for the U3A. Most of them were in their 80s, there were some in their 90s and some in their 70s. 40 of them, only two had sticks, and they weren't sticks, they were just to steady them. They weren't kind of as aids kind of thing.
Yeah.
And all of them were bright, very difficult to work with because they questioned absolutely everything, which is great because they had active minds.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that sense about what are you learning, what's your challenge? It's like anyone that's listening to this, what's the new thing that you're learning? What's the new thing that you're going to learn? And unless we've got some kind of challenge and something going on, then the chances are either we're fixing or our brain is in decline.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not learning anything new.
Yeah. I mean, from my point of view, this cycling obsession of mine has taken me on an interesting path, because aside from the kind of like just trying to increase safety for the guys and girls that ride to and from places, it's triggered my kind of design brain, because I've realised, and it's happening around the world, every town and city in the world is desperately trying to get more people on bikes, and not just get them on bikes but redesign how the town and the city is shaped and how the space can be used, because currently a lot of space is given to cars or people in cars as this kind of method of getting people from somewhere to somewhere. So we have these kind of motorways running through our towns and cities where people aren't engaging in the town, and when you take away the space for that vehicle and give it back to people as pedestrians or cyclists, you can create a much more positive place to be.
Yep.
Obviously plenty of places in Britain have been pedestrianised, and if you see crowds of people flooding in, and businesses flourish and communities do better because people are actually talking to each other and having these little engagements.
Not in a metal box.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of triggered my design thing, and it's taking me on this urban planning idea, which I'm thinking, it's only in the last couple of weeks I've thought about it seriously, about doing some kind of master's in urban design. Because I can see there's a massive need for it right around the world. And just and locally as well, you know. I can think of Birkenhead needs to be completely redesigned.
Yeah. Scrap and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So it's triggering my design thing as well. You know, as the physical side, the you know, I like, you know, staying fit and healthy. And it's I can, you know, in the last month or two beyond, it's there's been a real kind of that my lot my zest and my energy has come from that.
So I think one of the things the way it works for me is I'm always interested in new things. So I like technology and stuff like that. But I like facts. So my fact at the moment is, did you know that New York used to be called New Amsterdam? And it was a Dutch protectorate. And then in a battle, the Brits won it and renamed it New York. So it was New York, so good they named it twice. Right? But Wall Street was where the wall of the old walled city of New Amsterdam used to be.
Oh, wow.
So that's why it's called Wall Street. And things like that are like, wow, to me. That's like really amazing. I love that. So that's kind of a useless fact that gets filed away in my brain somewhere.
That's cool. Have you seen Gangs of New York, the movie?
No, no.
Leonardo DiCaprio. And, what's the British actor? Really famous, but you know, he does very, very few movies and he gets right. He's a method actor. Amazing film. You've got to watch it because it tracks the history of New York and it kind shows it. I don't know if it's the start or the end, but it does this kind of photo montage of New York when it was just fields, and then it kind of builds up and up and up, and you see this.
That's when it was New Amsterdam.
Skyscrapers
up here. Yeah.
Check it out. But yeah, I mean, for me, yeah, it's the kind of urban design, but it's taken me a long time to get to this point where I'm kind of thinking, oh, maybe there's something I can kind of do as possibly a career. But the whole journey I've enjoyed. So I guess the lesson and the message for our listeners and for everyone out there is that, you know, a bit of patience required. And yeah, enjoy the process of figuring out what it is you want to do.
There was a woman on TV on The Big Question on a Sunday morning, and she was either 82 or 84, and she was introduced because she'd just got a PhD. And I thought, yeah, that's cool. 82, 84, and you just got your PhD. Fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, why not? Why do we think education stops?
Yeah. And there's also the aspect of you're not just learning about how the world works and how you can serve the world. It's also about learning about yourself.
Yeah.
As well, isn't it? Because, I mean, a lot of, like you say, we can slip into our routines and habits and we can do everything. We can avoid learning about ourselves and investigating ourselves at all costs.
Yeah. I've got a friend, Mandy, who is a weaver. And she takes...
Mandy the weaver.
She takes, raw wool and goes through the whole process from the fleece through to and in spinning and all that kind of stuff, and then she makes things.
Wow.
And the amount of stuff that on a daily basis, because it's different kinds of wool create different kinds of acidification, which means different kinds of dyes and fixes and all that kind of stuff. So all the time, and like I just watch some of the things that she does, and I think, wow, and that's the kind of thing that keeps your brain awake.
Yep.
Keeps you going. Yeah.
Cool.
Learning doesn't have to be academic. It can be on any level, practical. You know, go and learn to build a stone wall.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Happy?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Have you got a resource?
Well, my resource is the connection to the U3A. So anybody who's kind of 55 up, you can join the U3A. And they just have loads of lifelong learning opportunities all over the country, all over the world, in fact.
You know? Yep. Yeah. U3A, okay.
So University of the Third Age, u3a.org.uk.
Cool. Well, mine is similarly titled, but different organisation called L4A.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, University of the
Learning for the Fourth Age.
All right, yeah.
So I'm not sure what the difference is Third and Fourth Age, if that's like. But these guys, anyway, I think they're based in Leicester, and they're a charity that goes into care homes, works with people, look by the looks of it, kind of 80 plus,
yeah.
And has volunteers and practitioners to go in and.
Yeah.
Teach these guys a new skill,
yeah.
Or two or three,
yeah.
Really late at the kind of late stage in life,
yeah.
And some case studies on the website, which are fantastic. So it's amazing to know that there are organisations out there, like L4A.
Yeah, there was a lovely guy on that video who was conducting a choir that were on the screen, but he was conducting them in the room, which is good. Yeah.
Beautiful, man.
So, he used to be a conductor. Yeah.
Check those guys out for sure as well. Okay, cool. Thanks to our listener for emailing in. If there's anything out that you would like us to discuss, head to the website or any of our social media channels and send us a message, and we'll slot it in to a future episode, because we're always looking for ideas.
Sounds good to me.
Live in the present.co.uk. Over and out. See you soon, Sean.
You take care.
See ya. Bye.